The book of Hebrews has always been a favorite of mine, and I want to share a message this morning, Thanksgiving in Hebrews. I know today is not Thanksgiving Day, but every day should be Thanksgiving Day for the child of God. And our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving. I appreciated what Ray shared. I appreciated the songs that were led. They fit with what I wanted to share. I'd like to start out by reading in Hebrews chapter 13, where this comes from, starting in verse 10. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to each which served the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. The book of Hebrews is taking the Jewish traditions, the Jewish law, the Jewish ceremonies. It's giving us the type that they represented in Jesus Christ. And it explains to us how Jesus Christ is so much better than anything that had come before. And so he starts out by saying, look, we have a better altar. Doesn't use the word better there, but that's what he's saying. We have a better altar. Those that offer, all those priests that served at the altar, that offered all those burnt offerings, all those sacrifices for sins, they don't even have a right to come to this altar. Those sacrifices that were made, all those animals that were killed for the sins of the people, and then burned, their bodies burned without the camp. Then in verse 12 he says, wherefore Jesus also. Remember, when there's a wherefore or therefore, you see what it's there for. And he's referring to this very thing, the sacrifices that were made under the old covenant. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside or without the camp. He was not crucified in Jerusalem. He was crucified out on the hill, Golgotha. I says, okay, let us. This calls for some commitment. It calls for a choice, a decision on our part. Let us go forth, therefore, because of what he's done for us, him offering himself and suffering without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In other words, he's reminding us, look, our life is not about us. Our life is about him. So let's go to him. Because if we live our life according to our own will, according to our own design, what's it going to be when it comes to eternity? By him, here's the verse that I want to focus on this morning. By him, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, I want us to think about some things here this morning. What would it take to make you happy? If I could stand here this morning and tell you, whatever you want that will make you happy, you can have. What would you say? And then, would it really make you happy? For 5 minutes? For 5 hours? For 5 days? Even for 50 years? Maybe even for 100 years? Well, what about an eternity? Will it make you happy then? I had to think about this. You know, we are often thankful for things that are pleasing to us. And so we think about, you know, well, if I just had this, or if this would happen, I would be happy. Do you know that if you have little or nothing now to be thankful for, you have a major heart issue? A major one. No, you're maybe not ready to have a heart attack. Maybe you don't need a surgery, a bypass surgery or anything like that, but you do need something to happen within you, within your being, within your heart. Do you know that thankfulness is not an option for God's children? If you're a child of God, thankfulness is not an option for you. It's not something that you decide you should have or shouldn't have. We all, as children of God, need to be thankful. Have you ever thought about if you would fill your days with praise and thanksgiving to God, what would your life be like? I think every one of us can ask ourselves that question. And we can think about it. What would happen with our life if we would just fill our day with praise and thanks to God? You like to hear people grumble? How many like to hear people grumble? Come on, nobody? Oh, you do. Okay. You're just being ornery, aren't you? We don't like to hear people grumble. We like to hear people that are thankful, that are happy. We don't like to be around complaining people. It just drives us nuts. We like to have people around us that have an attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving. They're so much easier to get along with. It makes the day much more pleasant. Well, what would happen in our own lives if we spent our days in thanksgiving and praise to God? So I want us to think about this. Thanksgiving may be costly, but thanklessness costs us more. I have a number of scriptures I want to think about this morning. I thought about this. Thy kingdom come, our theme for the year, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's the cost? What's the cost for that to happen? Okay, we have to give up our kingdom, we have to give up our will, if God's kingdom and God's will is going to be done, right? We've talked about that quite often. You know, he's giving us, he says, the sacrifice of praise to God continue. What's a sacrifice? The sacrifices that he talked about there in those previous verses, what were they? Animals. What kind of animals? If you had a herd of animals, what kind of animal could you offer for thanksgiving? Or for a sacrifice for sin. What kind of animal?
The best one.
The best one. So a sacrifice is something that costs us something, right? When the people came to God, so he's saying we are to offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God. Offer the sacrifice of praise. What does it cost us? What are we giving to God if we're offering a sacrifice of praise? Let's just, I don't have these scriptures up on the PowerPoint this morning, but I'd just like us to notice a number of scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And they brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 16, he repaired the altar of the Lord, and he sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Then Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Psalms is full of this whole thing, and it was interesting to me as I noticed these verses in Psalms, how he relates them to offerings and sacrifices. Psalm chapter 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer it to him. An offering. You know, we give our money, we call it an offering. Well, he says, our praise, our thanks, is also an offering to God. He's given us breath. He's given us life. And out of that breath and out of that life should offer thanks and praise. He's given us health and strength to work, to earn. And out of that we offer to him money to be used. And so David says, look, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. And then in verse 23 of chapter 50, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. Just the Psalms are just full of this whole idea. Psalm chapter 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. See, even then already, when God had commanded the offerings and the sacrifices of animals, David says, look, offering God praise and thanksgiving is even going to be more pleasing to him than bringing your best animal to give to him as a sacrifice. Psalm 107, 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, 17 through 19. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people in the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. So David is just, and then the other psalm writers are just reminding us, we need to bring the sacrifices, the offerings to God of praise. They're pleasing to him. They bless him. It's something that he loves to hear. If you were to take your prayers and analyze them, how much of your prayer would sound like complaining? We don't think of it that way, but if we listen to them from God's, maybe sometime we ought to pray our prayer out loud and record it and then play it back and see what it sounds like. Does it sound like praise and thanksgiving? Or does it sound like I'm whining and grumbling to God? Like I'm not happy with him? Like he's not good all the time? Let's just turn to Psalm 136. I want us to read this together. It's a psalm that uses the phrase, for his mercy endureth forever, in each verse. And it's a reminder of why we need to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 136, all together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. For it overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. To all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. When you read that psalm, what does it do for you? Doesn't it just make your heart overflow to think of what God has done and what He's doing in our lives? I think probably a good thing for us to read regularly. Ephesians chapter 5, this is New Testament now. Chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice he says it's because of Jesus. And that's what Hebrews said. By this same Jesus that offered His blood for us, that's how we give thanks. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Second Timothy, here's the part. I said that thankfulness is costly. Unthankfulness is even more costly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Talking about the last days. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfish. Narcissistic. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We don't often think of it this way, but unthankfulness puts us in a crowd that we often say we're not identified with. And it costs us. Big time. Now, secondly, thankfulness is a result of cultivation. He talks about the fruit of our lips. What's fruit? What is it? What in the term that he's using it there, what is it? Is he talking about apples and oranges? Not only. What's he talking about? I'm sorry?
The culmination of the thoughts in your heart.
Okay. That which comes out of our heart. Right. That it's produced by our heart, right? Fruit is offspring. That which is reproduced or produced. And we could go back, we could look at a number of scriptures. When Cain came and brought his offering to God, there in Genesis chapter 3, what did he bring? The fruit of the ground. You know, it was something that was a result of something that had happened. So he's saying, look, the fruit of our lips is something that's cultivated. Hosea chapter 12 or chapter 14 verse 2 says this, take with you words, turn to the Lord, and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. What's he talking about? He's talking about sacrifices, isn't he? Offerings that we give to God. When they went into their herd to pick an animal to offer to God, what did that represent? That animal, what did it represent? Okay, it was a representation of themselves, but it also represented a lot of cultivation, if you will. A lot of work. They had to work to feed that animal, care for that animal, help that animal to grow. And when that animal had reached its potential, they offered it. So there was cultivation involved. I think the fruit of our lips speaks of that. Ray expressed an interest in growing in thankfulness. That's something that we have to cultivate. It does not just happen, does it? It's not something that just, blam, all of a sudden one day we just start thanking and praising and that's all we can do. It's something that results from something else. It's fruit that is produced. It comes from a heart that has learned to submit itself to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beg you, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's just a reasonable service that only makes sense. God deserves our praise, our offering. He longs for that, a living, continue. It's something that needs to keep going and keep happening. On and on and on in our lives. So thanksgiving is a result of cultivation. Thanksgiving is to Jesus. We saw that it was through Jesus, but it's also to Jesus. Giving thanks to His name. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, and giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. In Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 lepers. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. It'd be interesting if we would keep track in our lives how many times we go to the Lord and bring our needs, bring our petitions, our desires before Him. He gives them to us and we keep right on going, right down our road, and never come back and say thank you. Jesus, by the way, this is something I always take note of. the Gospels tell us that this man, his flesh was restored. There was a special blessing that Jesus gave to this one leper that returned and thanked him for the healing. And I like to think of it this way. It doesn't say it specifically in Scripture, but you can kind of read it there. I like to think that the rest of the lepers carried their scars. Their leprosy was gone. They were healed. But they carried their scars for the rest of their life. But this leper, he looked like a brand new man. All his scars were gone. His skin was totally restored. Everything, there were no mark left on him of what the leprosy had done. I like to think of it that way. And I think it shows to us how much Jesus appreciates our praise, our thanks. He went beyond to work in this man's heart, in this man's life, to give to him something extra because of his praise. Habakkuk was having a rough day. He was looking around and he saw how God just was not doing things right. The wicked were prospering. The righteous were not prospering. Things were upside down. It just did not make sense. And Habakkuk started wrestling with all of this. He was having just a difficult time trying to understand this, trying to make sense of us, and don't we all have that struggle at times? And here's what Habakkuk ended up saying in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree won't blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. You farmers want to work all year, and at the end of the year you get nothing? Zero? The flock shall be cut off from the fold. All the herd animals all die. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Here's what Habakkuk says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What changes about God if we have a good crop or a bad crop? What changes about God? Hello? Are you sure? Absolutely. Nothing changes about God. It's still the same. And that's what Habakkuk was saying. Even though all this happens, I will still rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. He says, you know what? It's not about what's happening around me. It's not about all these things. It's about Him. And that's what Hebrews was saying. By Him, therefore, by Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. To Him, through Him, by Him. It's about Him. Give thanks. I think it's something that we need to learn and understand and appreciate, that God deserves our thanks. No matter what. No matter whether we're rich or poor, no matter whether we're hungry or full, no matter whether we have or don't have. You know, it's interesting. Some of the most happy people and some of the most thankful people that I've seen in my travels are those who have nothing. And some of the most whiny, complaining, grouchy people I have seen in my life are those that have the most. Why? Why? It's because of our focus, isn't it? If it's about our stuff, if it's about whether we have a good crop or a bad crop, or whether we get rain or don't get rain, then we're going to be miserable. But if it's about our God, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so my heart can rejoice. My heart can be full of praise. I can offer the sacrifice of praise because His mercy endures forever. Even if I'm in prison for my faith, I can offer praise to Him because His mercy endures forever. He's good. God is good all the time. Amen? Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You that we can offer to You. And Lord, we confess our neediness. We confess those many times when we fail, when our hearts are full of complaining, when we murmur, when we are not happy with the way You work in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, that You help us cultivate our hearts, break up the fallow ground, O Lord, that our lips can bring forth the fruit of praise and thanksgiving, that we can bless Your name, that we can lift up Your name, O Lord. We thank You. We just pray, Father, that as we gather and eat and fellowship together, we pray You bless the time of fellowship and the food. We pray that You bless our singing today, that it could be an encouragement and a blessing to those who hear. We'll give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.